The following Compassion Radio broadcast comes from our vast program archives and last aired 3 years ago this week.
On today's Compassion Radio.
What she asked us for was, please find me the names and, if you can, a picture of Indigenous pastors' wives that I can pray for, because I know the burden that they carry and I want to be able to pray for them.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From one generation to the next, this is the daily radio journal of God's great faithfulness. In every corner of the globe, we're glad you've joined us today. When you love someone, goodbyes are never easy. But in Jesus, they are always new beginnings of opportunity, of growth, and sometimes of glory. Today we share from our hearts about one of our own, a friend and encourager to thousands of you over the years. Her life is a continuing inspiration to us and a legacy to treasure. Here's Norman Scheer to get us started.
All right, this is a special program today, and in the studio with me is Scheer.
Mm-hmm.
And Scheer, very special member of our staff here at Compassion Radio, but also your mother passed away recently, and we want to honor her today in this program because she made a tremendous contribution to this program and to the listeners, many of whom received an example of her beautiful spirit and character.
Mm.
So tell us about her.
Well, it was a two-way ministry, Norm. My mother had been a pastor's wife for all of her life. She and my dad were a team. They started new churches, so they were the entire church staff. They did everything together, taught together, visited together, ministered together. Their whole lives were intertwined. And when my dad died 28 years ago, she sort of lost her moorings. She lost her employment. She lost her mate. She lost her purpose. And for several years, she floundered until she discovered that as she was moving through the grief process of being a widow, that she was seeing others coming behind her where the grief was so fresh and so painful that she began to think that she had something that she could offer, a hand to reach back to say, here, take my fingertips and I'll lead you blindly as I go and share with you what I'm learning. And in that process, she asked us, do you ever have any letters from widows who are new to the grief process, who could use a pen pal or a friend? Well, of course we did, and had never had anyone specifically to answer them. We tried to answer the best we can, but we began to forward those letters to her and let her simply write a handwritten note to them saying, I understand, I am with you, I feel your pain, but I also know that my God has been faithful to me each step of my way ahead of you. And I would love to share with you the things that I've read, the scriptures that have meant so much to me, the promises that I found to stand so true. And she began to have a pen pal correspondence with a great many people. Sometimes it only took a few letters before they felt that they had a handle on things and could go on. But for some, the bereavement was so painful that it went on for a good long time. Well, we began to see that she couldn't possibly answer all the letters personally. So the idea came to you one morning, standing in the bathroom in the fog of the shower, to create a newsletter. And many of you out there listening will have been the recipient of Widow's Mite when we were publishing it. It was an 8-page newsletter that Mother wrote for, but also found articles, scripture, poems, quotes, anything that she thought might minister to a person's heart and soul while they were in that painful period. We published and printed probably several hundred each month at its peak. Unfortunately, it came at a time when the ministry went through a real financial crisis. And it was one of the things that we had to discontinue because we simply could not pay the printer for it. So she continued with her handwriting to people. But it was a ministry that brought her back to life. And as a result of that, she began teaching Bible studies again in her retirement community where she moved to. At her church, she began a group called Women Alone that she spearheaded everything for. And now, even with her not being able to be a part of it in the last few years, it has grown tremendously. So she leaves a great legacy at First Baptist Church in Elk Grove behind her. She was simply a woman who loved, but more than anything, she loved her Lord and wanted to minister not only to his people, but to those who were still seeking him. And every effort in her life went towards those goals, whether it was with her children or her grandchildren or her neighbor's children or whoever it was. She reached out in love, and with everything she did, every word she said, she pointed towards the love of God.
You know, like you, she was beautifully a literary person and also beautifully relational. She also had an outreach to many widowers.
Oh, yes. Did I say just widows? No.
It wasn't so much that she initiated that, but some widowers began to correspond and let us know. One thing I do want to add to what you said so well is that it was an idea that came to me, as you put it, standing in the fog of the shower. But more than that, we have tried very hard here at Compassion Radio to do the truth, not just to talk about it, which is so easy to do. And the Apostle Paul gives a mandate for the church to reach out to widows and widowers, those who have lost those whom God has called together in the relationship of marriage. And widowers in particular was something that really touched my heart, the whole idea of that. But it was more than a good idea. It was trying to be obedient to the mandate of Scripture, which is something we try to do in every area. We do miss her greatly. She did a tremendous job here at Compassion Radio in that regard.
I just would like to tell the folks, she went through 2 weeks of severe illness before she died. She had pneumonia, which brought on heart attacks, and she had had some elderly dementia, and the lack of oxygen and the drugs and everything at the end caused her to be very frightened. She didn't know where she was a lot of the time. She thought she was out of the country and wanted to get back to the United States of America. She didn't understand about the hospital. There were just times when she was just totally frightened. There were other times when she was completely lucid. And when she was so concerned about letting us know how much she loved us and how much she believed in us as her children and her grandchildren. And she said things like, oh, if the heart could only say all that it feels. And she tried so desperately to let us know how she felt. But Norm, whether she was lucid or whether she was totally fearful and irrational about where she was, the phrase that she said over 100 times during those 2 weeks was, God is so good. God is so good. It was her theme throughout the end of her life. And you mentioned that our ministry is concerned with widows, but also the orphans. And my mother, her favorite ministry that we had as a compassion outreach was the Door of Hope. And as she would see the little children or hear their stories or learn their names, she would pray every day for these little children that God would guard their hearts, that he would lead them to the right home that would bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And she loved this project. And out of her retirement pittance, she would give every time to this project because she believed so much in it. She took the mandate that God gave us and that Christ gave us for ministry seriously.
She certainly did. And that project is on the near horizon because it's coming in February. So keep that in mind, those of you who are listening. Right now, you're going to hear from Bram, producer of this program. He's on the line from Texas right now. And Bram, tell us about your grandmother, Marilyn Huizinga.
I hope everyone has a chance to have a grandmother like Grandma Huizinga. When I hear stories of people that have been inspired by their grandparents to do things in life and to pursue ministry, to love the Lord, I feel like I'm a cousin to them because I had exactly that in Grandma Huizinga and Grandpa Huizinga. She was inspirational because she loved Jesus with a passion that was genuine and was simple and was not complicated. As others have noted during the week that we celebrated her life, there was never an ill word about anybody ever out of her mouth, no matter how much they deserved it. I didn't learn to control my tongue very well in my young years, but if I did, it was because of her. And she taught me the genuine value of speaking well of others, that when we speak of others, we need to speak as if Jesus was speaking about them. We spent our summers with her and with Grandpa Huizenga up in Michigan while they ran their little Baptist churches that they were helping to found. And pretty much every week was working in the garden, playing around the house, going to every church service imaginable because they were there every time, of course, the door opened and shut. And so she worked on the church music at the church. She worked on church music at the house. She played that piano nonstop. And we sang along and learned every one of those hymns. So our summers were full of not just music, but of praise and worship. So my biggest memories of Michigan in those summer times were the music and the smells of good cooking wafting out of that kitchen every day. If we weren't at the house there helping her get ready for something, we were certainly at the church getting ready for something else. And every year, of course, was at least a week's worth of vacation Bible school. So I have very fond, complex memories of the smell of basements and cookies and red punch and flannel graphs and all kinds of ways to let kids around the area know how much Jesus loved them. And there wasn't a story that Grandma would tell where it didn't end with a big, "Oh, do you know how much Jesus loves you?" Oh. And there was always a great, "Oh, how much?" from the kids. So she always worked people up to a great expectation. And it was worthy expectation about how much God loved us.
She had heart for the mission outreach of God's people, didn't she?
I can remember how many of my nickels and pennies went into bread loaves and things, helping somebody in some other country. I remember hearing over the years how much they've been able to raise for this mission project or that, and how excited they were. And they'd ask us about how we were involved with missions where we were in California at the time. And after they moved back to California to be with us, it never changed. They were active in something every year. So they taught us the value of loving Jesus everywhere, not just here at home, and that God was very much on the move and great things were happening. It was our responsibility as young people to learn about it, to know about it, and to understand what God was doing in all four corners of the world.
Norm, that was an incredibly important part of my childhood. The missionaries that the church sponsored were not just once a year they dropped in and showed their slides and were gone. They were very personal friends of my parents, and my parents kept them alive in the hearts and the minds of the church members every week. Mm-hmm. We had a huge, and I've talked about this on the program before, a huge world map on the wall with the pictures of the missionaries pinned to the countries that they were in. And we prayed for missionaries every night after devotions, after the evening meal. The people that the missionaries ministered to were as much a part of my life as the kids I went to school with. I mean, they were real. I knew the faces. I knew how they dressed. I knew what they ate. I knew what they lived in. They were just every bit a part of my life. And they ministered to the missionaries as much as the missionaries ministered to the people on the field, because we had them in our home for the entire time that we could have them close while they did their deputation. And my parents loved on them, ministered to them, prayed with them, brainstormed with them, loved that part of the ministry. And after my dad was gone and my mother had really come down to a prayer ministry, what she asked us for was, please find me the names and, if you can, a picture of indigenous missionaries' wives, indigenous pastors' wives that I can pray for, because I know the burden that they carry. And I want to be able to pray for them. And she loved getting a new pastor's wife to pray for in some country of the world.
Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. We're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com for gifts any time of day.
Bram, it occurs to me that you have four children who know what it's like to pray for the missionaries. That legacy has been passed on into your family, and your kids have made, a couple of them anyway, at this point, have made missionary trips. That's all in the legacy of your grandmother, Marilyn Huizenga. Pretty important, isn't it?
Well, there is no such thing as loving Jesus without going where he goes.
Amen.
And for us, the world was not a big place. It was a small place in that we knew somebody who was doing something everywhere. And so it was no strange occurrence to get a letter read to us over the phone or in person from a missionary friend, not just a missionary, but a missionary friend in an African country or in Southeast Asia or somewhere around the world. So we were always, it was like story time. You know, you read a before bedtime story, we'd hear about people doing great things around the world, what Jesus was doing. So those were our Bible stories. It was Bible being lived out every day. So when it was time to get serious about seeing it for ourselves, I asked those questions as a teenager. So what is it really like? Is it really that way? And I remember my mom telling me early on, well, if you're curious, go find out. It wasn't long before I was like 13 or 14 that I set off in the mission field to go do summer projects. And from that, hopefully a lifelong habit of getting out there on a frequent basis to see what God really is doing in a first-person basis so that I can talk with some credibility about those kind of things when I work in my pastoral and music ministry work in the future. It's all interconnected. So my kids have that same expectation. By the time they were young teenagers, we sent them off to missions projects that our church sponsored in Central America. And now my two daughters are getting eager to get out a little farther afield and follow me in my footsteps to go to India and spend some time there and work with some of our project partners that we've worked with at Compassion Radio in the past. So hopefully the ball is still rolling downhill and gaining steam here because they're excited about seeing what God's doing in the 21st century.
You know, Bram, it seems to me we're speaking to listeners, perhaps who are in churches or maybe even not particularly involved in a church, who have not had that kind of experience in their lives, who have not seen the gospel as it has taken root beyond the borders of the U.S. And all I can say is that when I see that, when we are in countries where the majority population is of another religion or perhaps of no religion, if we're talking about communist countries, it is so empowering, and especially in the early trips that I made, so empowering to see people of other nationalities, other skin colors, speaking other languages, with a totally different culture, who can say in their own way, hallelujah, praise Jesus. And you begin to realize the incredible revolutionary nature of the Christian faith as it has spread all over the world. Your grandmother and Cher's mother brought that to you, and it is at the very heart of the gospel mandate. God bless her for that.
It didn't take long in the mission field after shaking out the jitters of whether or not I'd be useful or helpful or do anything of value while I was there to hear somebody finally say something that I recognized. And what you'd hear is a pastor or a believer, somebody say the name Jesus, or as you mentioned, Norma, hallelujah, or something like that. But it wasn't just they said those words in their own language. It's that they had a twinkle in their eye and a smile on their face that I said, I see my grandma in that, because that's the way she would say it. So when you see that generational joy pass through God's family out there in the world, you recognize it and you say, that's Jesus, and I have nothing to be afraid of here because I know that. I know that spirit. I've already seen that spirit. It's in my own family. So you feel immediately at home because God's there. And it reminded me again that it's not just my grandma's joy that I experienced over all those years. It was God's joy. It had matured in her. And when you recognize it out there in the world, you were at home. You're exactly where you know God wants you to be, and there's no fear in that.
Norm, I think what we want to say with this whole program is not what a wonderful mother my mother was, which she was, but we want it to be a challenge to those of you who are new mothers, those of you who are teenage mothers, those of you who are grandmothers, that it's not too late to be that kind of an influence on your family. It's not too late to be a woman of God that shows through in your words, in your testimony, in your songs, and that shows through in your everyday life, in your hospitality, in your gentleness, in your talking and asking questions of your grandchildren to draw them out and get them to speak what's on their mind. It's not too late to be Jesus to all of your family. Don't be so caught in the busyness of the world and the busyness of life and all of the activities that you forget that your greatest goal, your greatest purpose in life is to lead others in a walk with Jesus that is so solid that even when you're lost in confusion at the end of your life, you can continue to say, God is so good, and your family will stand around your bedside and echo, I saw that in her life. Be that person, be that life to the ones that you love.
Amen to that.
Amen.
What a great conclusion.
This great hymn was the favorite of Marilyn, and a great challenge and hope for our lives as well. Our God is great, and He's faithful. So often we've seen that through you. Thank you again so much for your faithful support of the world's most needy as we bring Christ to the places where He's needed most.
And to God, oh, strength for today and bright hope.
On behalf of our Compassion Radio team, I thank you for celebrating the life of Marilyn Heisinger with us today and standing with us as we continue in her footsteps. Till God calls us all home, let's do great things in the Lord together.
Indeed, just like we told you at the top of the program, just wanted to remind you once again that this broadcast is from our Compassion Radio archives. For the first time in our many years of Bible projects, we are reaching out to our military who are serving around the world, some in active combat zones, many others in places which could erupt at any time. Why this project now? We became aware that although the military says it provides access to Bibles, the supply system is slow and cumbersome. Often the unit budget does not allow enough purchases to meet the needs of all the soldiers. Logistics is also a huge challenge in getting Bibles to remote outposts when they are requested. Will you help us send Bibles to servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word? They come in a trim size with a durable simulated leather binding that makes them easy to use in the field. Each Bible can be delivered into the hands of a seeker for $20. Now, our second new beginning is decidedly bittersweet. While our guiding light is dimming, God is lighting the way to a new path. You may remember that last month we asked you to pray earnestly for Norm. We don't know specifically what the days ahead have in store for Norm, but we do know that God holds him close. His vision and passion remain central to who we are as a ministry and a broadcast. We are trusting that you will continue to hold us all up in this season of change as his health forces him to discontinue his daily involvement and on-air presence. The Ministry of Compassion Radio is Norm's living legacy, and it's very much alive. We can't say this enough. Thank you for your well wishes, your cards and letters, your offerings, and your endless encouragements. They mean so much to us. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. All one word, CompassionRadio.com. Now, with your gift of $20 or more towards this month's Bibles for Military project, we'll be glad to send you a lapel pin or car magnet, which will act as a reminder to you to pray for our troops, men and women who are giving so much on our behalf. Ask for yours with your special gift to the ongoing ministry of Compassion Radio. That phone number again, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Dr. Norm and Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.